Tourists were stranded without rides to the airports, and traffic jams stretched for miles in Athens, Greece, yesterday, while a 24-hour public transportation strike was held in protest of further austerity measures. Work stoppages were carried out by a range of professionals, including tax officials, and riot police used tear gas to disperse a crowd of 1,000 protesters outside the parliament. Once again, Greece is said to be on the brink of financial collapse. After receiving a bailout of over 100 billion euros from the European Union a little over a year ago, a second bailout is now in the works. To receive loan installments or tranches, the Greek government has been continually required to cut public spending and raise taxes, leading to a series of mass demonstrations and strikes that peaked in June. On Tuesday, a new property tax was imposed, voted through Parliament by 154 out of 300 members. Also approved is a 20% cut to the public workforce, a reduction in wages, and a 4% decrease in pensions on top of the 10% decrease already agreed to. In an interview on Greek TV, Deputy Prime Minister Theodoros Pangalos said, quote, "I think the tax-paying limits of Greek society have been exhausted." However, he then voiced support for spending cuts. German Chancellor Angela Merkel made headlines on Tuesday for appearing open to a renegotiation of the terms of a second bailout, pending an audit of Greece's current finances by what Greeks call the Troika, which is Russian for three of a kind. The Troika includes the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission. The group recently suspended its assessment over concerns of an immediate default, forcing Tuesday's new property tax bill. There is support among some Eurozone members for banks to take a bigger hit and alleviate pressure on Greece. The planned second bailout would require private investors to forgive about 20% of Greek debt. However, there is agreement among economists and analysts that only a debt reduction of at least 50% will put the nation on the track to solvency. A less popular option, pushed by observers who view the current deal as cruel and untenable for the Greek people, is for Greece to default on its loans and drop the euro altogether. Proponents of this argument, like my guest, Sturgios Skaperdas, said this could give Greece leverage in loan negotiations and much-needed sovereignty from an economically oppressive system. Sturgios Skaperdas is a professor of economics at the University of California, Irvine, and author of an article on the topic published in Monday's issue of The Guardian newspaper. Welcome to Uprising.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your program.
So first, before we get into what you think the Greek government should do, I'd love to get your update on what is happening on the streets of Greece. Of course, there has been unrest in response to these austerity measures for months now, but currently there is a public transportation strike, at least it was yesterday, and today police and SWAT gear clashed with protesters, have been blocking government buildings. Is this how things have been in Greece for the past few months?
Well, it has intensified over the last few weeks. And it is, and as you said, there are many strikes and other kind of work stoppages. But the problem is that no political party or political force within Greece at this moment has come up with an alternative, with a real alternative to what the government is doing. And that's the main problem, is that you have calls for default, but they are for generalized sort of nature. So the problem is that there is not much. People are protesting, but they themselves don't know what the alternative is.
So let's talk about also how the path that the Greek government is going on now, along with the European Union and the International Monetary Fund. Why do you think that is a bad option?
Well, one reason is, first of all, it's unsustainable. It's not just bad for the Greek taxpayers, the Greek people, with the economy, with continued austerity, the economy deteriorating. But it's even bad for the creditors. If you had a default 18 months ago when the problem became apparent, the haircut of 30 to 40% would probably have been sufficient to wipe the slate clean and go on from there without having to go through the deep austerity measures that were undertaken since then. As the situation in Greece deteriorates, over the past year, GDP went down by 7%, tax receipts continue to go down, the productive economy is sort of being torn apart, the society is being torn apart. The capacity of Greece to repay any of its debts becomes even lower than it was 18 months ago, and so on. So as the time goes by, the required haircut, the reduction that bondholders will have to accept, becomes higher and higher. You mentioned earlier 50%. It should be probably, within the next few months, it will be 70 to 80%. If it goes on for another year or two, it will be 100%. Nothing will be returned to bondholders, rather debt holders.
So because nothing could be repaid to bondholders as the situation gets worse and worse, you think that it's best for Greece to default?
Well, yeah, to default now. And especially since most of the pre-existing debt from 2010 is chartered, the bonds are chartered in Greece under Greek law, and they are unsecured bonds. There is no mortgage or anything. So for that, you can actually default without even having the agreement of the banks, of the bondholders. Now, the new debt that has been incurred since then and continues to be incurred with the new tranches that you get from the Troika, that debt now is much more difficult to default on. It's virtually impossible. So that's an additional problem. So as time goes by, it's more difficult to default for Greece on the new debt that is taken on.
So what you're saying is that Greece should default, and it should do so right now.
Yes.
Well, is the plan, the model for improving Greece's economy that the International Monetary Fund, the Troika, of which the IMF is one part, imposing on Greece, is that the same model that the IMF has imposed unsuccessfully on other countries that have had financial collapses? And if so, shouldn't all of these failed experiments mean something?
Well, it's similar to what the IMF has pursued in other countries, but the Troika policies, actually the IMF is in many ways the more progressive, if you could say that, element in this Troika. The European Central Bank and Eurozone officials are much more gung-ho on austerity than the IMF is, and because the IMF, especially with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who we know what happened to him, was actually took policies that were less aggressive than in other countries. But the EU, the Eurozone, and European Central Bank officials were sort of followed the old. They wanted to have the old IMF policies. Yes, and austerity then really doesn't work because you have deterioration of income, and you have the ability the tax receipts go down, the ability of the state to sustain itself becomes worse instead of better.
So
and the ability to repay becomes lower.
So even looking at it from a conventional economic perspective, with a background in economics, it seems as though the path that Greece is going down, as you were saying earlier, is unsustainable. Isn't that obvious to, for example, the rest of the Eurozone? Don't they have a long-term plan? What is their long-term vision for how Greece should go down this path? Or do they see the ability of the Greek state to have its social safety net decimated and accept that as being a necessary price to pay?
Well, there is neither political leadership nor economic leadership in the Eurozone. It's surprising how many economists of all political colors outside the Eurozone, British, Americans, Martin Feldstein, who is a conservative, Paul Krugman, who is a liberal, they are proposing the same thing, essentially default as soon as possible, and probably exit from the Eurozone, although that's technically, everybody recognizes that that's technically difficult. Now, the politicians and economists within the Eurozone are too influenced by vested interests and powerful vested interests, which is the banks in their own countries, especially French and German banks, that have no interest in having a default. There is always that danger for their own banks, but also there is a recognition of the uncertainty about what the effects of default will have on the banking system as a whole, like Lehman Brothers, what the effect that Lehman Brothers had on the world's banking system, and on contagion, about how it would affect Portugal, Spain, Italy, Ireland, even Belgium, even France in the end. Because if Greece were to default, there might be a chain reaction in the rest of the Eurozone.
And what benefit would Greece have from exiting the Eurozone and dropping the euro as its currency and picking up its own independent currency again? What benefit would that have for Greece in the long run?
Okay, there are several of them. The most immediate one is the fact that default would imply that Greek banks as well would default. They could not, because they hold Greek debt as well, and they would have to be nationalized. Greek pension funds the same way. So a country that does not have, Greece does not have the ability, so-called, to print its own currency when it is within the euro, because the European Central Bank only has that capability. So it would be, by adopting the drachma, you would save your own banking system and your own pension fund.
And the drachma is the Greek currency.
Yes. It would be whatever is its name, probably the drachma. Mm-hmm.
That was the pre-euro currency.
Yeah. But the economic long-run argument, is a classic one, which is accepted by all economists, is that if you have a problem with exports and imports, which is the problem that Greece's problem within the Eurozone was that it exports a lot less than it should export and imports more than it should import. The way to do it is to have your own currency depreciate, thereby increasing your exports, making your exports cheaper, and decreasing your imports by making them more expensive. That, of course, would imply that imported things will become more expensive in Greece. But that's a lot better, I think, than the current situation, which is very brutal, that people's incomes are decreased by 30 and 40% or more, especially if they are unemployed. That's the long-run economic argument. There is also a very important political argument, is that we've seen, in the sense that democracy and any semblance of national sovereignty under current circumstances cannot exist without having your own currency for a weaker country within the Eurozone. We've seen that all Greek politicians do as essentially the Germans say. Whatever they tell them, they have to do it. Otherwise, they have the gun in their heads.
So what you're saying is that by being part of the European Union, countries with weaker economies like Greece have to just accept being left behind, whereas those with stronger currencies like Germany get to be dominant.
Well, actually, not being within the European Union, Greece can perfectly remain within the European Union and have its own currency. Mm. It's just not having the euro.
So it's just separating itself economically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's separating, not having the same currency. Having the ability to print its own currency, to issue its own currency, gives you tremendous, not just economic independence, economic flexibility, actually, but also political flexibility and independence, which is important. I mean, and that's one of the flaws of the eurozone. The problem is that you don't have mechanisms for transfers from country to country. When you have the same currency, you need to have also fiscal union, political union, which doesn't exist in the eurozone now. So it's like California not being able to receive any social security payments or Medicare payments or anything else in cases of emergency.
Well, finally,
finally,
and briefly, how much traction is what you're saying, that is Greek, drop the euro, get its own currency, default right now on its loans? How much traction does that actually have among the Greek public, accepting the fact that it doesn't really have much traction among the leadership that's actually making decisions?
Well, it has more traction among the population, but the population doesn't actually hear these views on TV or in mainstream papers. So it has a lot of traction among blogs from all the way from the right to the left in Greece, but does not have within the mainstream press that are influenced a lot by the government and other interests that are within the government there.
Well, I want to thank you, Professor Sturgios Skaperdas, very much for joining us today. We'll link to your article in The Guardian from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Sturgios Skaperdas is a professor of economics at UC Irvine, and the article that he wrote in The Guardian on Monday, September 26th, is called "Greece Needs to Default on Its Debt and Exit the Eurozone."